Becatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Becatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're exploring a book that, honestly, it really shifted the whole conversation around leadership, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It took things away from just, you know, spreadsheets and targets.
Right.
And moved it into this realm of human belief and purpose. We're diving into Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
It's such a powerful idea, and you see its influence everywhere now, even if you haven't read the book itself.
Definitely. You see in mission statements, marketing, sometimes even political talk. And the question Sinek asks is just so fundamental. Why do some leaders, some companies, think Apple, maybe Martin Luther King Jr., why do they inspire such deep loyalty, such incredible success?
Mm-hmm.
While others, maybe with even better products or more money, just seem to be constantly chasing the next sale, always competing on price.
Yeah, why does one company just feel different? Why does it build a real following while another just sells, stuff?
Exactly.
So our mission today is to really unpack Sinek's answer to that. We'll look at his famous golden circle concept.
And crucially, the why behind the why, if you like the biological reasons, Sinek says this structure works so well.
We're hoping to give you that kind of aha moment about what really drives motivation and inspires people.
Okay, so let's start with Simon Sinek himself.
Yeah.
He's British-American, an author, speaker, consultant.
But his background is interesting, isn't it? Not the typical business school route.
Not at all. He studied cultural anthropology at Brandeis University. And that perspective, looking at human behavior, culture, group dynamics, that's really his unique angle.
It makes sense. He's looking at organizations almost like, well, like tribes, with their own cultures and belief systems.
Right. He's applying insights from anthropology and behavioral science to how businesses and even military groups function.
And he's worked with a huge range of organizations, Microsoft, Apple, even the Pentagon. He was involved with the Rand Corporation, too.
Yeah, quite diverse. And the book itself, Start With Why, apparently came out of a tough time for him personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he talks about hitting a wall professionally, feeling disillusioned, and starting his own search for why he was doing what he was doing.
Finding his own why.
Exactly. And that journey led him to spot this pattern, this common thread among all the leaders and organizations that truly inspire people.
And then came the TED Talk in 2009, How Great Leaders Inspire Action. That really put the idea on the map, didn't it?
Oh, massively. It went viral and kind of launched the whole concept into the mainstream.
Okay, so let's get to the core idea. The book's central argument is, well, it's simple but profound.
It really is. Sinek says that the most successful, most inspiring organizations think, act, and communicate differently from everyone else. They start from the inside out.
Meaning they start with their why, their purpose, their core belief, their cause, not with their products.
Right. Which is completely the opposite of how most companies operate, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Most places start with the what, here's our product, here's what it does. Then maybe they explain how they do it. We have this special process, these great features.
And the why. If they mention it at all, it's often just an afterthought, or they mistakenly think the why is just about making money.
But Sinek says that's wrong. Profit isn't the why, it's a result.
Exactly. He flips the script with his golden circle model. Why, then how, then what?
So the why is the core belief. Like for Apple, Sinek argues their why to sell computers.
No, it's something deeper, like to challenge the status quo or to empower individuals.
And the computers, the phones, they're just the tangible proof, what that demonstrates, that core belief.
Mm-hmm. So the book is really a guide, isn't it? It's trying to help leaders move away from these short-term manipulative tactics.
Like discounts and promotions?
Yeah, those things that get a quick sale but don't build loyalty. And instead, embrace genuine inspiration.
Which creates that sense of belonging, that real connection with employees and customers.
And the kicker is, this isn't just some nice idea or management philosophy. Sinek argues it's grounded in how our brains actually work.
Okay, that's intriguing. But before we get to the biology, let's dig into the problem Sinek identifies. What are these manipulative tactics he warns against? He calls them carrots and sticks, right?
Yeah. Manipulation versus inspiration. He lists a few common ones that we all recognize.
Like what?
Price cuts, special offers, using fear, limited time offer, or peer pressure. Everyone's doing it.
Right. Or aspirational messages, buy this and you'll be cooler, happier, more successful. And just plain novelty. It's new.
We see these constantly. And look, they do work. In the short term, they can drive a transaction.
They get you to buy the thing today.
Exactly. But Sinek's point is, it's purely transactional. There's no loyalty built. If someone bought from you because you were cheapest, they'll leave you the second someone else offers a slightly better deal.
So these tactics are expensive. You have to keep doing them. And ultimately, they don't build a real relationship.
They're unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't stand up against genuine belief. He uses that great historical example.
The Wright brothers.
Yeah, the Wright brothers versus Samuel Pierpont Langley. Langley had everything going for him in the race to build the first airplane.
Huge funding, government backing, the best minds.
All the resources, the White.
Yeah.
But his motivation, his why, was apparently fame and fortune.
Whereas the Wright brothers, they had a bike shop.
Right. Tiny budget, working in near obscurity.
Yeah.
But they had this incredibly powerful why. A deep belief that flight could change the world.
And that belief attracted people who shared it. They built a small, passionate team.
And ultimately, their shared purpose, their why, allowed them to succeed where Langley's superior resources failed. Belief trumped resources.
Okay, so that sets up the power of why. Now, how does Sinek connect this to our biology? This is where it gets really fascinating.
It is. He maps the golden circle, why, how, what, directly onto the structure of the human brain.
How does that work?
Okay, so think of the layers, the outer layer, all the facts, features, data, the language we use to describe things that corresponds to our neocortex.
The newest part of the brain, the rational, analytical part, our thinking brain.
Exactly. It processes language, complex thought, rational arguments.
So logically, shouldn't communicating the price, be the most effective way to persuade us?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But Sinek's key insight is that the neocortex, while great at analysis, isn't the part that drives our actual behavior or decisions.
Ah, so where do the why and how fit in?
They map onto the limbic system. This is a much older part of the brain. It's responsible for all our feelings, trust, loyalty, emotion, and crucially, it drives all human behavior and decision-making.
The gut feeling part of the brain.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And here's the critical piece. The limbic system has no capacity for language. It doesn't understand facts and figures. It operates on feeling.
Wow. Okay. So if a company just talks about what they do, features, they're only talking to the rational neocortex.
Which can understand it, but isn't inspired to act.
But if they start with why?
They're speaking directly to the limbic system, the part of the brain that makes decisions and drives behavior. They're tapping into emotion, into belief.
That's why we get that gut feeling about certain brands or leaders, even if we can't perfectly articulate why.
Exactly. That feeling drives the decision, and then our neocortex jumps in afterward to rationalize it with the facts and figures, the whats. We make emotional decisions and then find logical reasons for them.
That makes so much sense. So to build that limbic connection, that trust, it's not just about saying your why, is it?
No, absolutely not. Talk is cheap. Sinek emphasizes three crucial elements for authentic leadership: clarity, discipline, and consistency.
Okay, break those down.
Clarity of why. You have to actually know what your purpose, your core belief is, and be able to articulate it clearly. Discipline of how. Your actions, your processes, your company culture, they all have to actively support and reflect that why. Consistency of what. Your products, your services, everything you actually do has to be tangible proof of your why.
So authenticity isn't just a buzzword. It means everything has to align. Your actions have to match your words consistently over time.
Right. Trust isn't built with one big marketing campaign. It's earned through thousands of small actions that consistently prove you believe what you say you believe. If your why is customer well-being, but your how involves sneaky hidden fees, that trust evaporates instantly.
Okay, and this consistency, this focus on why, it's also key for actually growing, right? For reaching more people.
Yeah, Sinek connects this to the law of diffusion of innovations. You know, that bell curve showing how ideas spread. Innovators, early adopters, majority, laggards.
Mm-hmm.
His point is, if you want your idea or product to reach mass market success, to hit that tipping point, you shouldn't waste your energy trying to convince the skeptical majority right at the start.
Who should you focus on then?
The innovators and early adopters. These are the first roughly 16% of people. They're the ones who will buy into your idea or product based primarily on your gut. Why? They connect with your belief.
They don't just need what you have. They believe in what you believe.
Exactly. They're the true believers. And they are the ones who will then go out and tell their friends. Who tell their friends? They become your advocates and help you cross the chasm to the mainstream majority. Focus on the believers first.
That flips marketing on its head, too. Don't shout at everyone. Whisper to the right ones first.
Precisely. Now, to actually make all this happen, especially as an organization grows, Sinek points out another critical factor. partnership.
What kind of partnership?
He talks about the need for both why types and how types. You need the visionary, the dreamer, who articulates the why thing, Steve Jobs.
Okay.
But you also absolutely need the pragmatic, operational, how type person who can actually build the systems and processes to make that vision a reality, think Steve Wozniak.
The visionary and the implementer, one without the other, doesn't work long term.
Right. The why provides the destination, the how builds the road to get there.
Which leads to, kind of ironically, what Sinek says is maybe the biggest danger to staying true to your why.
Success itself.
How can success be the problem? Isn't that the goal?
It is. But success brings scale, complexity, metrics. And Sinek warns about something he calls the split.
The split.
Yeah, it's that moment, often when a founder leaves or the company gets really big, where the organization starts to lose touch with its original founding why. Becomes obsessed with the numbers, the results, market share, operational efficiency.
And the original purpose gets fuzzy.
Exactly. He uses Walmart as an example.
Yep.
Sam Walton's original why was something like serving common people, bringing value to small towns. But as it grew huge, the focus shifted massively towards efficiency, logistics, price, the how and the what took over. And some argue that original soul, the why, faded.
So how do you prevent that? How do you keep the why clear, even when you're successful?
Sinek offers a really simple, practical tool for this. He calls it the celery test.
The celery test. Okay, I'm intrigued.
It's basically a filter for decision making. If your why, your core purpose, is truly clear, it should help you make decisions almost instantly. Imagine your personal why is centered around living a healthy lifestyle. You go to the supermarket, you see celery, and you see M&Ms. Which one aligns with your why?
Celery, obviously.
Right. The why instantly filters out the M&Ms. It makes the decision easy. The celery test says your company's why should do the same thing for business decisions.
So if a new product idea or a marketing strategy or even hiring someone comes up, you run it through the filter. Does this genuinely align with why we exist?
Exactly. If it doesn't pass the celery test, if it feels like M&Ms when your why is celery, then the answer should be no, regardless of the potential short-term gain. It keeps you authentic.
That's a really useful practical takeaway. Okay, let's zoom out a bit. What are the big overarching themes or messages you think listeners should really take away from Start With Why?
Well, the first one, for me, is definitely the biological foundation. The realization that this isn't just nice-sounding rhetoric. We are biologically wired to respond to purpose, to belief, to that why.
It grounds the whole thing in science, doesn't it? It's not just opinion.
Right. Second theme, authenticity and trust. Because trust lives in the limbic brain, it can only be built through consistent action that aligns with your stated beliefs. Think about brands you truly trust. It's usually because they consistently deliver on their promise, their purpose, over a long time.
Yeah, it's not usually one big flashy thing they did. It's the reliability.
Mm-hmm. Third theme, aim for advocates, not just customers. True, sustainable success comes from building a community of people who don't just buy your stuff, but believe in your cause.
The classic example being Harley Davidson. Right. People tattoo the logo on themselves.
Exactly. That's not about the bike specs. It's about what the brand represents. Freedom, rebellion, belonging. They're advocates for the why.
Okay. What else?
And the fourth theme, I think, is that purpose is discovered, not invented. Your why isn't something you cook up in a marketing meeting based on research. It has to be genuine, often rooted in the founder's personal story or deep-seated values.
Which is why it's so powerful and hard for competitors to just copy. It's authentic.
Of course.
The book is definitely packed with memorable lines that just crystallize these ideas. Any particular quotes that stand out?
Oh, definitely. The absolute core, the one line that sums it all up, has to be, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
That's the whole book in a sentence, really. The product is just the proof of the belief.
Mm-hmm. Another one, more on the personal level, that really resonates is working hard for something we don't care about is called stress. Working hard for something we love is called passion.
Oof. Yeah, that one hits home. It's such a clear distinction based on whether your why is engaged or not.
Right. It helps you immediately diagnose your own situation. And one more about leadership. Leadership requires two things. A vision of the world that does not yet exist, and the ability to communicate it.
I like that. It frames leadership not as a position or authority, but as serving a cause, painting a picture of a better future.
Exactly. It's about inspiring people towards that shared vision.
So thinking practically, how can people apply these ideas? It's not just for CEOs of massive companies, right?
Not at all. I think the most powerful application is actually personal. The challenge Sinek implicitly lays down is for each of us to figure out our personal why.
Through introspection, thinking about what really drives you.
Yeah. What are your core beliefs? What gets you out of bed? And once you have some clarity on that, you can use it as a filter for big life decisions, your career path, relationships, where you invest your time and energy.
Aligning your personal what and how with your why to find that fulfillment, that passion, instead of stress.
That's the idea. And for anyone in a leadership position, even managing a small team, the most immediate application is in hiring.
How so?
If you lead with why, you stop hiring just based on skills and experience the what. Instead, you look for people who believe what you believe. Hire for attitude and cultural fit first.
Because you can teach skills, but you can't really teach belief or passion.
Right. Building a team that's aligned on the why creates incredible resilience and motivation.
And then there's marketing. It basically means flipping your entire message.
Completely. Mm-hmm. Instead of leading with, we make great widgets, they have these features. What? You start with, we believe in challenging complexity. Why? Mm-hmm. We do that by making simple, elegant tools. How? And look, here's our amazing new widget.
Like the Apple example we touched on. Start with the belief, explain how you live it, and then introduce the product as proof.
That's the formula for inspiration, not just selling.
Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing that really stuck with you or maybe surprised you about Sinek's framework?
You know, what really struck me was that idea of the split, how success itself can become the biggest.
It really does.
It makes the case for purpose-driven leadership incredibly compelling, whether you're leaving a country, a company, or just your own life.
So the final challenge Sinek leaves us with isn't just about figuring out what we do, but truly understanding and being able to articulate why we do it.
That's the heart of it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.